Well, good afternoon. We had extra time this weekend, and so I'm doing a second session of teaching here at the God School. I think the title of this particular message is going to be Things Most Christians Don't Know. As some of you who are regular participants at the God School know, that I work at a place called the Bible Museum, and I've been there about 13 years. I don't know how many thousands of people have come for tours for the history of the Bible. And I'm not saying it happens every time, but often in an attempt to communicate the control of God on history and his faithfulness, oft times the subject of the feast days of the Lord comes up. And it's amazing how few people who come to the Bible Museum and are just in awe of this ancient collection of Bibles, whose purpose is to show one thing, and that is God has preserved his word, are ignorant of this part of Scripture, that is the feast days of the Lord. Now, Paul, in the second chapter of Colossians, he says, in the 16th verse, he says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of Sabbath days or of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Now, using that as a starting point, I want to talk about the feast days of the Lord, and you'll find them in the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus. I believe you also will find them in the 28th chapter of Numbers. There are seven feast days, and it is equivalent, or it's just as accurate to translate that which is translated feast day, it's just as accurate to translate it set times. Now, in the Old Testament, God declared unto his people that they were to keep seven feast days or set times. The seven are Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacle. I'm not going to go into a lengthy detail on all of these, but we're now about to, next week, enter into what's called the fall feast days, which are trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. But Paul says, of these holy days or Sabbath days, they are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And we're not going to look at the shadow which the substance casts. We're going to look at the substance, that is, Christ, through these set times of God. So the first was that they were to keep was the Passover. That was on the 14th day of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. Now, you know, one thing you need to be aware of, the Hebrew calendar, or Jewish calendar, if you'd like, was different than our calendar. The day started at sundown. We start our day at 12 midnight. They started their day at sundown. Their days were controlled by the sun and the moon. Their months were controlled by the moon. It was a different calendar. And you need to have this frame of reference in order to have a more clear understanding of the things that God talks about. You know, he says in the fifth verse of the 23rd chapter, in the 14th day of the first month, which is Abib, at evening is the Lord's Passover. So it begins at sundown on the 14th day of the month. Why is that important? Well, if we're going to look at the substance of the feast day, which was nothing but a shadow cast, these being set times, what happened at Passover? In the actual happening, which is described in the book of Exodus, God instructed that the children of Israel were to slay a lamb, place its blood on the lintels and doorposts, and the death angel of the Lord, when he saw the blood on the door of the house, he passed over. If there was no blood, the firstborn of that household was slain. In other New Testament passages, we're told Christ is our Passover. On the very day of Passover was the Lord Jesus crucified. God giving a type and shadow in the feast day, but the substance was Christ. And today, all Christians claim, true Christians, called Christians, chosen Christians, understand that it is the blood of Christ which, when God sees, he passes over. Because of what Christ did, and 1450 years before this substance of the feast day was fulfilled, God gave a picture. There was arguments among the religious people of that day that though they were plotting to kill Jesus, they said, you know, not on the feast day. Because then they knew that the testimony of Christ would be given more substance if in fact he died on that feast day. And the feast day they were talking about was Passover. And he died on Passover. He celebrated the Passover the week that he was crucified at sundown Tuesday night with his disciples, and he gave full meaning to the cup of wine, symbol of the blood, and said, of that cup, this is my blood. The blood of the New Testament. He was the substance. Of that set time. Of God. So he celebrates at the Passover ritual Tuesday night, sundown. He is betrayed, arrested, tried several times, convicted, and condemned to death. He's hung on the cross and his Roman captors or executors at the time were amazed that he died so quickly. But according to the feast day, the lamb had to be slain on that day. Sundown was approaching. Sundown, that sundown coming after the sundown on the 14th day, the sundown on the 15th day, began the second feast day or set time of the Lord. It was a high Sabbath day. It was the feast of unleavened bread. This was a 7-day holy convocation. And when the scripture speaks of them having to hurry Christ's burial because no work was allowed on that high Sabbath day, it was a Wednesday at sundown, not Friday, as so many of the many in the church teach. It was a Wednesday. It was a high Sabbath day. It was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And being a Sabbath, he had to be buried before that day began, which was sundown. And Christ was buried. But you read in the 10th verse of Leviticus 23, it says, the 9th verse says, and the Lord, so he tells about unleavened bread. In the 9th verse, it says, and the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say, when ye have become into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheave of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheave of the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. The Sabbath was the beginning of unleavened bread. And this was to take place on the first day of the week following the beginning of unleavened bread. I'm looking at something because I'm not happy with something that I said. It was not, you can't find the record of the, another record of the feast days of God in Numbers 28. And I'm looking, pardon me, I'm sorry for the delay, but I really want to make it right. Bear with me for a moment. So I'm sorry for the delay. Just a lot of information going through this gray matter. We're talking about the Feast of First Fruits. And it says, on the morrow after the Sabbath. Now, I need to correct myself. You have Passover, and on the day Passover was fulfilled, the substance being Christ, on that day of the week, it began Tuesday at sundown. It was over Wednesday at sundown, which was the beginning of unleavened bread. The next feast day is the Feast of First Fruits, which was on the morrow after the Sabbath, which is the first day of the week, which was Sunday. But not really our Sunday. On the Hebrew calendar, it was sundown Saturday night. Christ was not crucified on that day, which is called Good Friday, but on a Wednesday. He was not laid in the tomb on Friday night, as we are taught. He was laid in the tomb before sundown on a Wednesday. He did not come out of the grave. God did not raise him up. He did not come through those grave clothes and through that rock and through that locked door on Sunday morning. It was Saturday evening. Well, Don, why are you so emphatic about this? Because the message at the God School is God is faithful. And I get that from his record. And Jesus gave substance. He gave a proof, if you will. They said, show us a sign, you're the Son of God. And he said, faithless and perverse generation that seeks a sign. And how many people in this generation are seeking signs of miracles or this happening or that happening or tears coming out of a painting or, you know. He said, this is the sign. As Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be, and then rise. And being crucified on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, excuse me, Passover began Tuesday, being crucified on a Wednesday and being buried, Jesus was in the grave Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, 72 hours, three nights and 3 days, 3 days and three nights. And he came out of that tomb. Raised, every account in the New Testament doesn't say he raised himself, was raised by the Father. And the promise we have in the current teaching is the same in Romans, is the same Spirit that raised Christ up from the dead shall quicken our mortal body. And we as a church called Christian celebrate these most wonderful set times with all kinds of, I'm trying to be kind, non-biblical, forget being kind, I'm telling the truth, pagan practices. Good Friday, Easter Sunday. The word Easter doesn't even appear in Scripture. It's being translated, and this is the influence of the traditions of men. The one time I believe Easter is mentioned in the book of Acts, it's really translating Paschal or Passover, not Easter. I'm not getting into Easter today. Suffice it to say, we do our best at the God School to look and declare the works of God through the Scriptures. The next feast day, the fourth feast day, the fourth set time of God was the Feast of Pentecost, which came 50 days after First Fruits. And, you know, the book of Acts says regarding that day, I want to read it exactly, so give me just a moment. Acts chapter 2, first verse, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and let me just, before I get to that, so this third feast day, first fruits, is the day Christ came out of the grave by the power of the Father. We were in the teaching just looked at that phrase in Romans 8 where it says that we might be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. There are other passages which tell us that Christ was the first fruits. Something new. And it happened right on time, and the church won't teach it the way God declared it. The church loses the opportunity to show that God is faithful, that he does what he says, that he can be counted on. They'd rather have an Easter egg hunt and dress somebody up as the Easter bunny. These feast days, these set times were shadows of things to come. The substance is Christ. We're now moved to the last three. Let's go back to Pentecost, back to Acts, first verse of chapter 2. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's King James, they were all with one accord in one place. Others have, I think, more properly translated, and when the day of Pentecost began to be fulfilled, because the day of Pentecost was the harvest, and God is continuing to add to his church, to those he has called, he has chosen, daily. It wasn't over on that beginning of the fulfillment of Pentecost. This is continuing. If it was over, I wouldn't be teaching. I'm going to tell you something in a minute that'll relate to this, but a better translation is when the day of Pentecost began to be fulfilled. God, his hope, it's not finished. It wasn't finished on that day. It's not finished yet. I believe it's not going to be finished for a long time. Jesus said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. On this day of Pentecost, it says, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus told us that no man comes to the Father save the Spirit of the Father draw him. That is the Spirit of God. That is the Holy Ghost. It is God that started the relationship with his disciples on the day of Pentecost. It is still the Spirit of God that starts the relationship people have, the true relationship people have with God today. And it will be that same Spirit, that will bring others into his body, that is the church, the body of Christ. As we move, and we're moving quickly through these things, we move to the feast days in the fall, which are the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. As I was looking into this, I was having a conversation with a friend today, and I had done some Google search on this feast day that will begin sundown next Sunday. Sundown on the 13th, the 14th being the Feast of Tabernacles, but again, the calendar on which the feast days were given, sundown, Sunday, the 13th. I stumbled because I, everywhere I looked, and I'd studied this before, and I've been taught the lessons before, and the word is very clear. It says, on the first day of the seventh month is the Feast of Trumpets. And I was looking at all these Jewish calendars, and it said, you know, that it was 2 days. And I'd really never come across that. And so I went and started doing some more study. And I, one of the books I have, it's called Unlocking or Using the Keys of the Feasts of the Lord, Unlocking the Mysteries. But it says, in the Feast Day of Trumpets, if the Feast Day of Trumpets celebrated for a two-day period known as one long day is seen prophetically as the day when the righteous are sealed. I'm going to read all this. Some of it's not pertinent. Some is mind-boggling. Is seen prophetically as the day the righteous are sealed, and then the day that follows would correspond to a period of time when the average people or sinners are given an additional time in which to repent. This time corresponds, perhaps, to that referred to by Jesus as the beginning of birth pains. At the end of the 10th day, the Day of Atonement, the final judgment is completed and all opportunity of repentance is past and the doors of heaven are closed. Oh, But the little mystery I had about God's word saying on the first day of the month and the Jews celebrating 2 days, hey, I'm not condemning anybody. I believe God is merciful and patient and long-suffering. And if one religious group wants to interpret one day as 2 days, I'm all for it. But they're missing what the substance of the feast day was. On this feast day, all day long, they blew 2 silver trumpets. It was, silver is the type of redemption. This same writer says of the trumpets, they were known as the last shofars. It is the trumpet that heralds the coming of Messiah and the resurrection of the dead. It is in this connection that the day has become most commonly known as the Day of Trumpets. Yeah. Why two? Why silver? It says it is heralds the coming of Messiah. Well, you know, the Jews call it Rosh Hashanah. It is the beginning of their civil new year. Passover was the beginning of the spiritual new year. Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, beginning of the civil new year. All that is shadow. The substance was Christ, the coming of Messiah. Again, I'm not going into all the details, but by scripture, you can find when Christ was born. It takes some work. It's not easy. But you can make a determination when Christ was born, and he was born on the Feast of Trumpets. They got part of it right. Messiah did come. He did not come as Messiah Ben David sitting on David's throne. He did not come as Messiah Ben Judah to deliver the people. He came the first time as suffering servant. There were 2 trumpets. Because one was not adequate. Because Christ is coming a second time. This time, when he comes, he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is a time when Christ shall come and take his church out of this world. You say, oh, now, Don, you're getting pretty spooky there, talking about things like that. Well, whether I am or not, I'm speaking the truth, because at Christ's second coming, He, there are multitude of scriptures saying that a continuation of his work, his second coming, he's going to take his church out of the way, and he's going to pour out his wrath on this world, on this sinful world. And because by God's grace, that wrath that was due us was laid on Christ, and we are no longer subject to the wrath of God. He takes his church out of the way before he pours his wrath out on this world. Christ was born on the Feast of Trumpets. Yet, and when I tell people that, you know, some people, I can't put a percentage on it, maybe 50% of the people say, oh yeah, I know he wasn't born on Christmas. These are church-going Christians. But, you know, I mean, how do you know when he was born? Again, showing lack of being taught. That's a fault of leaders in the church. Leaders in the church know he wasn't born on Christmas. Yet, it's much easier to continue in the traditions of men than it is to herald the truth of God and God's faithfulness. It's just much easier to go along. I mean, that's how Christmas really came into being. It's the Feast of Saturnalia. It was a great pagan holiday. The Christians at the time couldn't overcome the vast majority of the pagans who were celebrating this pagan holiday. And they said, oh, well, rather than try to work and teach the folks the reality of the false teaching that the pagans were celebrating, they just said, oh, it's just easier, let's just join in. And for, you know, virtually 15, 16, 1700 years, the Church of Jesus Christ has been celebrating Christ's birth on a pagan holiday and losing the opportunity again to show off God's faithfulness. So we have in Christ the fulfillment of Passover, of unleavened bread, of first fruits, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, of Pentecost when it began to be fulfilled, that is, God manifesting his the ones that he chose out from before the foundations of the world in Christ. We have half of that feast day of called Trumpets fulfilled in Christ's first coming. The next two and a half are yet to come. The Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Trumpets is going to be fulfilled at Christ's second coming. That's the day, folks. He's coming back. Oh, you can't say that. No man knoweth the day. Well, I just said, by the authority of God's word. Do I know what year? I don't. Do I have a sense I think it's going to be soon. Do I think it's going to be next week? God knows. To the world, he's going to come as a thief in the night. To those who are having a relationship, I have every confidence they'll have that sense of the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. I don't speak this by commandment. I'm trying to be as sincere and forthright as I can. I don't feel it's going to be this year. I don't feel it's going to be next week. There are yet things, other things to that need to take place before Christ fulfilling that Feast of Trumpets. The Day of Atonement, this is going to be a day when God, as I said earlier, is going to pour out his wrath on this world. It's not the time that the doors of heaven are closed. My Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign in this earth for 1,000 years. My Bible tells me in the book of Revelations there are several that there are several raptures taking place. During this Feast of Tabernacles, it's the only feast left that God's Word says is going to be celebrated throughout that 1,000 year, that millennial rule of Christ. God's work's not going to be finished on the Day of Atonement. The Feast of Tabernacles was a time when the people of God would move out of their permanent housing and move either onto rooftops or out to a wilderness place and live for a week wherein they might ponder, they might be reminded of all of God's benefits, of all of God's graces, of all that he provided as typified in the 40 years in the wilderness where their shoes never wore out. I think it's a pretty good practice in that activity of that week-long Feast of Tabernacles, the folks gave 203, my teacher used to say, 203 offerings. This is the month that the participants in the God School that those who have been taught go beyond their tithes and offerings and give an additional whatever denomination, 203 offerings or a multiple thereof. They were called sacrifices. That is, things offered that meant something to the one offering, that was valued by the one offering. And they were all offered as burnt offerings. That was to the exclusive use of God. They were called sweet savor, well-pleasing to God. So, to wrap this up, these feast days of God, these set times of God, God was right on time in Christ, fulfilling, being the substance of these set times, and he has a track record from start to finish of doing what he has said. With the understanding of his faithfulness, we can cast all our cares upon him, because he said, our cares are most important to him who is our Father. And he gives a track record. Because he's looking for one thing. From his children, our Father is looking for children that will trust him. And that's the God School for today.